Thank you for joining our live broadcast. Listen after the broadcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
A named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Verse 58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Verse 61, and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. God bless you. You can be seated. This remarkable man named Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned in all the four Gospels. He lived in an obscure village of Arimathea, which is approximately 20 miles from Jerusalem. The Bible tells us a few facts about this gentleman, beginning in verse 57. First of all, it says that he was a rich man. In other words, he had tremendous resources. He was wealthy. The verbiage we would use today is that he was very blessed. So if you look at this passage tells us that you can be very blessed financially, you can be wealthy, you can be rich, and guess what? You can still be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to get. God doesn't mind you having things. He just don't want things to have you. I wish I got more amens. It's all right to have a nice home. Just don't be so tied down to it that when the rapture comes, it's holding you. You want to be free of all your things so when the trumpet sounds, you're able to go up. Can I get a witness? Here's the third thing that we see in the passage of Scripture. This is actually found in a different book, the book of Mark. It's found in Mark 15 and 43. And it says that Joseph of Arimathea was a prominent council member. If you study that out, you'll find that means he was a part of the Sanhedrin. So he was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was a rich man. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you have some church history, you know that the Sanhedrin was made up of 70 or 71 men, and basically they were the political system in that day. But Joseph of Arimathea, though he was in it, he wasn't really of it because he didn't consent to their ways. So it took some boldness and it took some clout for Joseph of Arimathea to beg for the body of Jesus Christ. I'm on time restraints this morning, but this is the council. The Sanhedrin was the council that really instigated our Lord's death. He was on that council. So for him to go back and now beg for the body of Jesus Christ, two things could have happened. He could have been kicked off, or he could have actually been killed or stoned, because they would have seen that as going against what they were for. Does that make sense? And so here's why this is important. Because in Jesus' day, when criminals were crucified, and you know that Jesus was hung between two thieves, history says that many times they left criminals on the cross. They left them there, and the birds of the air would literally come and eat their flesh. They would allow the birds to eat their flesh, and anything that remained, they would cut it down and they would throw the remains into a makeshift grave on the side of the hill. But Joseph of Arimathea was different. He understood that God gave me all of this wealth and all of this resources and this prestige for one purpose. And that is to make room for the body of Christ. Can I get a witness? He thought, I need to get the body of Christ and I need to have a place prepared to place it. I don't care what kind of condition it's in. I am going to move it from a death position to a resurrection position. Now I want you to think about it. This one man, say one man. One man moved the body of Christ. One man said, I'm going to move it from where it is to where it ought to be. And of course, we understand it was the physical body of Jesus. But if you go into the books that Paul writes, he lets us know that the church is the body of Christ. And so Joseph is saying, I'm going to use everything that God has given me, my wealth, my position, my prestige, I'm going to use it all, and I'm going to make sure that there is a place for the body of Christ. This man, ladies and gentlemen, it says in the King James Version, was begging for the body. I want to tell all of us, we need to follow after this pattern. You didn't have to beg him. He was begging to get the body. Usually, the more people get, the more they acquire, the more wealth they get, the more independent they become. And some people get the attitude, well, once I've got all this, you know, they don't think that they need God as much. Let me remind you, everything that all of us have has come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift that you may have. Listen, I'm not here to cast judgment on anybody, but I've seen God give it, and I've also seen him take it away. Everything that you and I have this morning has been a blessing from our Heavenly Father. And Joseph of Arimathea realized that, you know what God has blessed me with, I'm going to use it to beg the body of Jesus Christ. So this is what he does. He goes to Pilate, being a part of the Sanhedrin, and he begs Pilate for the body of Jesus Christ. He's saying this, I'm not going to use all the blessings that God has given me to keep me disconnected from the body. It is possible the only reason why the Lord allowed him to have that wealth and that influence was so that he could move and enhance the body of Christ. This is pretty amazing. You know, are you willing to beg, ladies and gentlemen, for the opportunity to get involved in the body of Christ? Most people have to be begged to serve. A pastor has to get up and say, would you please serve? We have a need. Would you please give? But I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this any way but kind. I'm not a beggar. I am a believer. And I'm not going to beg anybody in this house. I'm not going to beg you, because you know what? You ought to realize it is a privilege to be able to give to the great work of God. It is a privilege to be able to come to God's house and to be able to lift up my hands and worship. It is a privilege to be able to get involved in the body of Christ and to work and to serve and to offer myself. I'm telling you, that's the kind of attitude that God is looking for. Those who are willing, I'm going to get the body of Christ. I'm going to place it where it needs to be. I'm going to use my resources to help the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that it was, he craved it. That word beg means to crave. He craved the body of Christ. He was obsessed with getting the body of Christ. It was his passion. I want you to shout passion. Passion. You seem quiet this morning, so I want you to shout passion. Passion. God wants us to be passion. He wants us to have passion. Church ought to be something we're passionate about. Not if I get to go, I go. If I don't, I don't. No big deal. We ought to be passionate about being a part of the body of Christ. And Joseph of Arimathea said, I don't care what it looks like. I know it's bloody. I know it's got nail prints in its hands, but I'm willing to beg for the opportunity to be involved in that body, even though it don't look like much. Brothers and sisters, can I preach this morning? You see, it doesn't matter how bad people look. Nor does it matter how decayed their life is. It doesn't matter how dead spiritually they are or how addicted they are. The truth is, they need to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. It was Joseph of Arimathea's obsession, and I pray that our obsession would become our passion, that we are passionate to reach every lost soul in this community. I want to remind TPC and all of our elders, this is not a hospital for the saved. This is a hospital for the sick. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but I come to minister. You say, well, this is only a sanctuary for the saved. That's not the way God sees it. God sees that this is a sanctuary for the sick. He sees that this is a place where people that are hurting need to come. I'm going to keep preaching to you this morning. This is the place where people are addicted need to come, because at the foot of the cross, they can receive freedom. Hallelujah. I don't want you to take offense to this, but listen here. Everyone in this room, at some point in your life, you've been messed up. Come on, somebody. You know, let's just get real. I said it this morning. How many of you would like all of your thoughts and all of your past and all of your secrets to be up on that screen? Come on, get honest now. Even Sister June's had some thoughts that we probably would be like, whoa, she thought that? Even whoever you think is the holiest person in this house, I'm going to tell you, I do my best. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to be a great example to you. But I'm going to tell you, I've thought some things about people you wouldn't want to see up on this screen. And so have you. So it's amazing how we want everybody to be real gentle with our sins, but we're so quick to judge somebody else's because that's not ours. Come on, I need some real folk up in this house this morning. Here's what I'm telling us. I'm saying that every one of us have messed up somewhere. Every one of us has had some thoughts we wouldn't want you to know about. And you know what? The body of Christ ought to be big enough to handle people that have got addictions, that have had messed up marriages and messed up lives. They haven't always done it right, but guess what? They get to come and be a part of the body of Christ, and the blood of Jesus covers every one of our sins and our stains. Hallelujah! Somebody take 5 seconds and give God some praise. Now, I want you to notice, this is important. The Bible says that as soon as he got the body of Christ, notice what he did. It's in verse 59. He put clean. Everybody say clean. Clean. He put clean linen on it. And I am for all people being a part of this church. Come with your addictions, your messed up lives, your messed up marriages, your dysfunction in your family. I am for that, because this is where you can find grace. This is where you can find healing. This is where you can find freedom. I'm all for that. But let me say, on the flip side of that, here's something very important. The Bible says that he took and he put clean linen on the body of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to say. If you're going to be involved in the body, and if I'm going to be involved in the body, which again is the church, I need to add to his cleanliness. I don't want to desecrate the body by having uncleanliness in my own life. And so if you're going to get involved in blessing the body of Christ, make sure you clean it up. We're not looking for perfection. There's nobody perfect. But you know what? We should be different once we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you're rid of all of your addictions. But I am saying you ought to be on your way to saying, God, every day, I want to become a little bit more like you. I want to make sure that when I sing, I'm singing with the clean life. When I'm preaching with the clean life. God has helped me this far to stay clean and not be in bondage to any addiction. I don't want to be involved with you and allow the devil to pull me back into something. I want to keep myself clean. I want to robe myself in clean linen. I want to preach with a clean heart. Come on, somebody. There's never been a generation like this generation that needs the message of holiness as we need it, and sanctification and being clean. Hear me, when God gets you, he justifies you. But then in that process, it's called sanctification. And in the process of sanctification, it means you're walking to be more like him. Hear me this morning. I want to talk like him, act like him, walk like him, live like him. I want to dress myself in clean linen so that I can represent him and you well. If you're going to sing, you ought to sing with clean linen on. And if you're going to serve, you ought to serve with clean linen on. And if you're going to work for God, you ought to work for God with clean linen on. God, I'm doing my best to live righteous and holy before you. So here's what he did. He covered the body of Christ. He covered it. Brothers and sisters, I'm not a hard-nosed pastor, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame when I go to the mall and can barely lift up my head. I'm not going to go much deeper than that, but here's what I'm going to say. We all need to cover the body of Christ. When I look at you, I don't need to be looking at my head to the ground, because, you know, the body of Christ is uncovered. Arimathea, what he did was he covered the body of Christ with clean linen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Make sure that you are presenting your body as the temple of God. Can I get a witness? Y'all know me. Y'all know I'm not a hard pastor, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach it to you right, because I want you to be saved. It does matter, ladies and gentlemen, what you watch. It does matter what you look at on the internet. Come on now. It does matter what you listen to. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't listen to just all gospel music, but mainly it's the word on my phone and it's gospel music. Every now and then I get cold and I listen to something else, but y'all pray for me. But it's not that often. But here's what I'm telling you. It does matter the diet that you listen to. A country music every now and then probably is not going to send you to hell. But if you're listening to "There's a Tear in My Beer" 8 hours a day, it's going to drive you to drinking. And I don't want you going there. You need to be listening to something that's going to build you up and encourage you and edify you instead of dragging you down. Guess what? That remote that's got on also has off. And you ought to try it. It works. Turn it off. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of watching it, cut it off. You say, "Well, I rented this movie for $2. Don't let $2, come on somebody. Yeah. Don't let $2 make you feel ugly inside. Yeah. $2 is nothing. Take it back to Redbox and say, "I don't want to rent that trash again." Yeah. Clean. Somebody shout clean. God wants us to wrap ourselves in a clean linen. He wants us to be a light for this world. He wants us to radiate so much that the world wants what we have. But if we're just as broke, just as sinful, just as disgusted and busted as the world is, then what is the attraction? The attraction ought to be that our marriages are being healed, that our lives are finding freedom, that the blood of Jesus has covered us from the sins of yesterday, and the power of the Holy Ghost is working in our lives. Somebody stand to your feet and give God 5 seconds of praise in this house. I'm hurrying, but here's the neat thing that Joseph of Arimathea did. He took the body of Christ from a death position and he placed it in a tomb in a resurrected position. Ooh, I like that. Isn't that good? Brothers and sisters, I preach and believe that there is a resurrection coming. the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. And what I want to do is I want to make sure everybody in this house goes to heaven with me. That's why I'm preaching like I'm preaching this morning, because I believe the trumpet's going to sound, and I want everybody in TPC to make heaven. I'm trying to get all of us in a position of resurrection so that when the Lord comes and the trumpet sounds, we're all going to be raised to newness of life. We are supposed to be involved in positioning the body of Christ for revival. That's what our past three services have been about. We've honored our past. We've celebrated the present. We've promoted the future. And today, this is faith for what God is going to lead us into. This is why I'm preaching like I'm preaching. Our build campaign is not about what we can brag about on Facebook. It's about positioning the body of Christ from a position of death to a position of resurrection. We want to be ready for the next great wave and the next mighty move of God that we know is coming. Do you understand revival's happening to the body of Christ? If you were in here, I was able to tell you 2 weeks ago that many are saying, many of people who are writers who write for the Boston Globe, the New York Times, very liberal magazines and newspapers, but they are saying that the Pentecostal movement is growing at 50,000 believers a day around the world. This is the Bible being fulfilled. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the greatest days to be alive. Here's what the scripture says. Here's what it says. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And while we're living in one of the most wicked times, we're also living in one of the greatest times. They say, I don't know if this is true, but they say that on a clear night with just the naked eye, that you can see a porch light from 10 miles away. A porch light from 10 miles away. That's the power of light. And that's what we want this church to be, is a lighthouse. That's what it's been prophesied that it will be, is a lighthouse. That's why we're doing what we're doing, is because we want to make room for 400 others that are going to become a part of the body of Christ. So that when revival comes, the Lord can breathe and resurrection life will come as a whole to De Quincy and to this generation. I don't want the clanking of religious machinery around here. You know what we want? We want revival. We want a harvest. We want a resurrection. Here's what the Bible says, and I'm hastening. It says that he laid it in his own tomb. This is pretty remarkable. Because back then, they didn't have all the power equipment that we had. They didn't have a jackhammer. They had to go in there with their primitive tools, and they had to hew that out. So that means they had some wheelbarrows, whatever kind of hammers and chisels, and they went in there, and they hewed this thing out. So guess what that means? That means work. Everybody say work. I know for some people, that's a bad four-letter word. But listen, the work of God is work. And those sweet people that built the first brick building in De Quincy back in 1949 and dedicated it debt-free, I'm going to tell you something. The average yearly income in 1949 was $3,600. The minimum wage was 40 cents. And they built that building debt-free. I'm going to tell you, there were some ladies making some peanut brittle, selling some donuts, selling grandma's quilts, and working hard to erect a debt-free building. And if they could do it, making $3,600 a year, then guess what? God has blessed this church. Anybody blessed in this house? He hewed it out. That means he worked. And some would say, well, Joseph, you know what? You're just overgiving. Hey, buddy, you just need to calm down. You're getting a little too involved. Why are you begging to get involved like that? It's just the church, and they don't really need your help anyway. This guy was saying, you know what? I'm begging. Let me do the work of the kingdom of God. What matters is that I'm taking my blessings and I'm taking my wealth and my prestige in order to be a blessing to the body of Christ. History says this. History says that Joseph of Arimathea took 75 pounds of spices. 75 pounds of spices and placed it upon the body of Jesus Christ. We don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, spices in that day came at a premium. Think of the investment that he made. He anointed something, and here's what I think's incredible. He anointed something with 75 pounds of spices that was about to come alive. But he didn't consider the cost was too great to make sure that he was taking care of the body of Christ. And then here's what I like about it. If you look in verse 61, and I had never noticed this before, it says this, that Mary Magdalene was there on one side, and on the other side, the other Mary. Now, Mary, as you know, if you have a little bit of Bible history, you know that Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed when the Lord found her and cast out the demons, right? Then the other Mary he's referring to is the Virgin Mary, the Holy Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. But here's what is cool. On one side, you have Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute and full of devils. The other side, you got the Virgin Mary, who was holy and righteous and highly favored of God. And yet, both of them felt comfortable. I'd never seen that before. And so here is this prostitute that the devil had been cast out, and she's on one side. And here is this Virgin Mary who had never known anything but holiness and righteousness, and she's on the other side, and they both feel comfortable being at the body of Christ. Here's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Sister June ought to feel comfortable in this house, and someone that hasn't known the Lord but just a day ought to feel comfortable in this house, because we're all striving for the same thing, and that is to be the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Here's what I love about the church. The church should be reaching every status of society. If you had a past, you didn't feel any less righteous than Sister So-and-so. And if you've been born and raised in church all of your life, you felt comfortable still being part of the body of Christ. You could have a terrible background, or you could have a great background. Here's what this tells me. Jesus accepts us all. If you were rich, you felt wanted. And if you were poor, you felt cherished. And if you were someone with an addiction, or if you were someone that had been in church all of your life, you totally felt comfortable being in the presence of God. I love the way the Lord did it. When he came to the lady who had committed adultery, he accepted her without approving of what she did. And he simply said, "Woman, go and sin no more." I know this is unusual to hear in church. Hold on to your seatbelt. Y'all, we're living in a crazy world. We're living when people are all messed up with even their identity. And what are we going to do with people that come into these doors that are messed up in their identity? Are we going to push them away? Or are we going to realize that it's Christ that's going to help them to understand who they truly are in him? Yeah. I didn't know if I'd get many amens on that. We can't just be a sanctuary for the saved. We've got to become a hospital for the sick. And whether you're Sister June or whether you're a lady that's just coming out from the world, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. He's got a plan and He's got a purpose for you. Here's why we're going into this campaign is because we want to make room for 400 others for the body of Jesus Christ. And we want people to be able to say, no matter who you are or where you come from, if you go to TPC, they're going to shake your hand, they're going to smile, they're going to hug your neck, and they're going to love you no matter where you come from. Because we believe in the body of Jesus Christ. If you have habits, hurts, or hang-ups, you're welcome here. If you're lost, you're welcome here. I'm going to be bold this morning. If you're a drug addict, you're welcome here. Do you understand that statistics say there is 100 million people in America that is affected by alcoholism? 100 million people affected by alcoholism. You know what that means? There's 330 million in America. That means that you know somebody that is touched or affected by alcoholism. What are we going to do? Push them away? Are we going to allow them to come in and find freedom? I'm talking this morning about making room for the body of Christ. I'm going to ask you a very important question. Here's the question. Are you ready? What are you going to do with the resources and the blessings that God has blessed you with? Are you going to be a Joseph of Arimathea and say, you know what? I realize everything I've got, it's not just for me. And I'm going to use it for the body of Christ. Are you just going to take it and hoard it all and say, you know what? I'm going to buy me another pair of shoes. I'm going to buy me a nicer vehicle. I'm going to upgrade my house. Nothing wrong with any of that. I don't have a problem with any of that. But first and foremost, we ought to take our resources to serve the body of Christ. Can I get a witness? And I close with this. A wonderful group of TPC members were challenged this past Friday night to make their advance build 36-month capital campaign commitment. We follow the example that we find in 1 Chronicles 29, where David came and Solomon came and they gave their finances. Then after that, the Levites came and gave their finances. And then after that, the congregation came and gave their finances. That's the model that we are following. And at TPC, we have 225 faithful givers. 49 of the faithful givers made an advanced 36-month commitment of $842,000 on Friday night toward making room for others. I think we ought to give God praise for that. Come on, I think we ought to give God praise for that. Why? Why did you do that? Because we're making room for the body of Christ. You just do a little bit of math. 49 gave $842,000 on Friday night. We have 225 giving units, not including the people in this community that love this church and are going to give. It's very conceivable, based off of these numbers, that this church is going to give anywhere from $2.3 to $2.6 million, making room for others. Because we understand the blessings that we have is not just for ourselves, it's for the body of Christ. I think we ought to give God some praise here this morning.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.